this is really one of the great things about Log. You can say, well, Tom, that's great, but in the real world, we face this kind of issue. And if you could return that data in this format or give me the ability to ask it this way, my job would be much easier. And Tom will say, huh, well, let me think about that and get back to you. And here's the amazing part, Tom will get back to you.
Welcome to You, Me, and IBMI.
Kurt, good morning.
Good morning, Alex. How you doing?
Very well, thank you.
I had an interesting call yesterday that really had no business coming into the Sabre store queue. And this is one of those cases where you realize we're supporting real people doing real work with real users trying to actually make money for their company, you know? And the case came in and it was general enough that no one really knew where to stick it. So we have like that general queue that cases get put into.
Save a store.
Yeah, sometimes. So this case came in and here was the problem. The guy had thousands of users logging into the system, but not with a computer, not with a PC, not with a Mac, not with anything you'd normally expect. But they were logging into the system with scanner guns. And they would scan something that would log them into the system. And the problem was that after their 7.3 to 7.4 upgrade, some of the scanners would come into the QEnter subsystem instead of their own scanner subsystem that they had. So the screens were the wrong size. And about half of the users knew how to adjust the screen on their scanner so they could kind of fix it. And the other half didn't, and they would have to go to the management team and say, come fix my scanner. And we're talking about, 500 people that don't know how to log, they can't log onto the system. And so I'd never seen this call before. And I ended up researching. I talked to Wayne a little bit and figured out something. It was there's something called workstation descriptions or something like that.
Yeah.
Workstation entry, and got that figured out. I'll probably make a video about it to go with the document. But it was just an example of, this guy was driving home. I called him back, and he had an actual issue that, it felt good. You fix that one, and then in your mind, well, all those people, their scanners are going to be fine. Company goes on, whatever.
But that's the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah, I love calls like that. Didn't know anything about it. You learn something, you talk to people, you get the answer, give them the answer. It just felt like, it was a nice customer connection too. Really nice guy.
Nice.
And did you know that there are customers coming to Rochester next week?
Yeah, I heard Lug is going to be in town. Large users group.
I think Lug is one of those things that a lot of support reps only think about when we get a note that there might be free beverages in the main site, or that there's an Ask the Experts forum where we can go and customers can come and ask us questions. I think we all love that, getting the opportunity to go off the queue, talk to real customers. But I don't think that we really know a lot if we're not in it all the time.
Well, as luck would have it, right here in the studio, we've got Brad Mengus here with us, and he is our main Lug. I mean, what do you do with Lug, Brad?
Well, the official title is I'm the IBMI liaison to the large user group.
And is that like your main gig? Is that what you're spending your entire day working on?
And more importantly, well? Brad, how do you spell liaison?
I still can't spell liaison. But I have it in my email title now. That's spelled correctly.
That's a good way to learn. Repetition.
Yeah. So don't ask me. I can't do it like that. But yep.
Well, what do you do?
So if you take the entire year, I spend about half my time being the Lug liaison, because you got to think about when we talk about the meetings, three meetings a year when clients come to Rochester, that's a full week of time there. But then otherwise it ebbs and flows throughout the year, right? So that's about half my time. The other half of my time I'm on the IBMI screen team and Power Hypervisor support team.
Okay.
So I work with Lael and those guys over there. So that's the other half of my time.
Now, a more general question, I guess, for people who are will be listening that haven't heard of LUG before is, what is LUG? Alex said it's large users group, but what does that really mean? Any big user can join and get the find out more about IBMI. What is LUG really?
Well, it's a group of our largest clients, and there's criteria. So we have two members from the LUG board. They're the co-chairs of the board, Dutch and Dave. Dutch, do you want to tell us more about the LUG and what the criteria is for people to join?
Sure, happy to. Thanks for having us on today. So LUG is the large user group, and the criteria we have is a pretty interesting process because we start with basic questions like, well, how many, you need to have at least three large enterprise class boxes, 1080s or 1050s, and they need to have at least, I think it's 35 cores of IBMI running. Or you could have more of the smaller boxes, the 1024 size boxes, with 60 cores of IBMI running. But that's just one aspect of getting in. That's kind of like the table stakes.
Sure.
But we've admitted people that aren't that large based upon other questions that we ask.
Oh.
Other questions we ask revolve around what type of disaster recovery methodology are you using? Do you do your own application development? But like with all good applications, there's five long answer forms, questions at the end of the application. What major problems are you facing today? And one of the key questions we look at is, what could you bring to the LUG organization? Because one of the biggest advantages of LUG is the ability to talk to other large users.
Sure.
For example, in my installation, you know, I have over 250 LPARs. If you have to put PTFs on 250 LPARs, that's a lot different type of environment than if you have to put PTFs on 10 LPARs.
Sure. So you mentioned that because you'd be coming to these groups and seeing how other people are doing it?
What things have worked well, but also sometimes more importantly, what things did not work well? What things don't I want to do?
So you're developing best practices.
It allows us to interact with IBM. We sit in this room, and there's typically anywhere between 80 to 110, 120 members sitting in the room. There's probably half that many IBM people sitting in the back of the room.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
IBM will do a presentation on something, and there'll be questions that get asked during the presentation. And it's not unusual for the guy giving the presentation to look into the back of the room and say, Tom, can you take that question? And Tom will stand up. And it turns out Tom is the developer of that piece of the system that you had the question on.
Sure.
And Tom will tell you, oh, well, this is what we're doing, and this is how we're doing it, and this is why you get the right reaction. And then this is really one of the great things about LUG. You can say, well, Tom, that's great, but in the real world, we face this kind of issue, and if you could return that data in this format or give me the ability to ask it this way, my job would be much easier. And Tom will say, huh, well, let me think about that and get back to you. And here's the amazing part, Tom will get back to you. And he will say, hey, yes, I can do that. Give me a LUG requirement. So one of the things LUG does is we generate requirements for IBM of these are the things that we want the system to do to make our businesses run better.
And these are formally written and documented requests.
I believe our fill rate from IBM, and Dave, you'll have to keep me honest here, I think it's something like 78% of our requirements.
Yep, just about 80%.
Yeah, have been filled by IBM over the 30 years that Lug has been around.
The other thing, Dutch, that I was going to mention with that is they're vetted out through the written process, but then the entire Lug membership votes on the priority of this. So if it's a one guy says, hey, I need the operating system to do this, and the other 90 members in the room say, I don't want that, then it doesn't get passed, and it doesn't even get to IBM. So they're sure. Vetted by the group at large. So they're valid things that are going forward, what means something to all the Lug member companies.
That sounds like a process that works very well if you have 80% of them getting filled.
Yeah, it does. And I think a lot of that success rate is due to the fact that we filter them in the Lug as well, right? So we filter valid stuff that goes to IBM, so it helps them develop the platform. One other thing I was going to mention, Dutch, when you were talking about the membership application, we are not like a standard user group, right? We're more of a group of the large platform users. And one of our main charters, our main goals is to help push the platform forward and to push IBM development in a way that we need in order to run our businesses. So while we're vetting members, we're also looking for members that we feel will add value to that process of pushing the platform forward. So if somebody's doing something rather unique, or they're using parts of the operating system that maybe a lot of the members aren't using. So we're always looking at nuances, if you will, for membership applications when we vet them.
That's where that long answer form on the application comes into play, because we're really looking for you to tell us, hey, I'm doing this and I don't know anybody else that's doing it, and either it's great or we're having trouble doing this, and this is why we need to do it. And we'll look at those. And like I said, we have admitted people that don't have the table stakes, you know, to say, hey, I'm a large user, but are doing things that the Lug views as important. And we think this person can bring value into the discussion.
And then once you've captured that value, then you kick them out of Lug, or how does that work?
Yeah, usually we do that. We usually make it pay an extra year's dues, and then we kick them out. Oh, no, okay. Once you're in, you're in, unless you violate some of the bylaws.
Yeah, so that's another interesting thing that governs the Lug as well, the membership. We do have a board. It's volunteer, obviously. And the goal of the board, or one of the goals, is to oversee the rules within the organization. And a big piece of that is confidentiality. We're unique in the fact that all the member companies are under they call it FPA within IBM. We're under that guidance. So IBM shares stuff with us, roadmaps, things that are 5-10 years out, they share with our group, as opposed to, hey, this is what we delivered last year. It's more forward looking. And with that, the confidentiality is a big thing. And if we find a member violated that, we deal with those very harshly. We've booted members out because they've exposed data or something out of a meeting. So that is the one thing you can do, Alex. You were mentioning it. That's one thing you can do to get kicked out of the group, so to speak.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Talking about the cooperation, Dave, if you look at the DB2 Mirror product, that came from a requirement by Lug for a good hot solution. And one of the great things about that product, IBM didn't go off and develop it and say, here, what do you think? We spent several years with IBM at every meeting. We meet 3 times a year, talking with IBM, them bringing up prototypes and us saying, this is great. We also need to do this. No, we would never want to do that. So don't spend any money to develop that. And it was a sure. Cooperative effort between IBM and Lug that brought DB2 Mirror to market. I mean, you know, IBM did all the work, right? But the interaction with Lug was this, yes, this is valuable. No, this is not. How are you going to do this? Oh, we didn't know you needed to do that. Well, yeah, we need to do that, and this is why. Okay, great. Well, then we'll go and make it do that.
involve the stakeholders in the whole process.
Yep.
There's obvious benefits that LUG members receive, but going the other way towards support for the support center, what are some ways, Brad, you feel that the support center benefits from the LUG being such a vibrant organization?
One thing is, you know, we've all been on problems that we've worked with clients, and you get to the end and it's fixed. And then the nice thing about LUG is when they're in town, you can go down there and meet the person and put a face to a name.
Oh, sure.
Right.
But, I've done that before.
Yeah. But there's also been cases that I've been working leading up to a meeting that are not resolved. Right. And we can go down and we can grab a conference room, can get the support rep. You can pull the developer that wrote the code that's having the problem, get in the room and try to come up with a solution. Right. So that's a huge value for us in support that don't necessarily have a lot of FaceTime with clients, right? Come down to ask the experts, right? And if you know you're working with a LUG member, email them and ask them, are you going to be at the meeting, and come down and meet them and talk to them, right? So that, to me, that's a huge value to us to get FaceTime with our clients.
Yeah.
I did eye doctor when I was on the performance team for about 10 years. I did eye doctor workshops with clients. I was on site with about 30 different clients over that time. When I moved to my current job in Screen Team and the Power Hypervisor, I lost a lot of that FaceTime that I had, and I missed it. And that's one reason I jumped on the liaison role when I came up, is because I can work face to face with these folks. I got to know them doing eye doctor. So
yeah,
I think that's a big benefit for us that sit behind a desk with a headset taking calls all day,
right,
is to actually meet our clients.
And when we started the show, the reminder that these are real people. It's not just somebody calling in. It's a person with a factory. They've got pick tickets. They have actual products they have to get out the door. And that reminder that there's real people that we really care about using the product. Yeah, that's just a great reminder of kind of what we're really here for.
Yep. Maybe one thing that Dutch or Dave can touch on too is the LUG website. So we do have a LUG website that is provided by IBM. Right, and we collaborate with the LUG for what's on that website. We have a forum where the LUG members can talk amongst themselves, and there's a forum where they can talk to IBM. So how does that help with your collaboration between meetings?
Yeah, I think that's a good question, Brad. I think what you see in there a lot is, hey, I'm having this issue. I was going to open a ticket, but has anybody else ran into this? And can we maybe address it before opening a ticket? So I think there's value there. Plus, there are members from the support organization that are in there and see these things come in, and they're able to answer them. So a lot of times you can head off tickets, so to speak, and address it internally. That's one benefit. The other benefit, you called it out, is that FaceTime, that collaboration. Hey, this guy's going to be at LUG. I need to sit down with him. You see all the time, you see members of the support organization come up to the LUG meeting, and there'll be in the back room, there'll be offices, and they'll be in there talking about an issue with a client. That's, to my view, that is one of the main benefits of the LUG organization, is that interaction. So
that feels like it's unique.
Well, I can tell you that doesn't happen at Microsoft.
But I wonder what the reason is that it is so unique, because it seems like there's value going in every direction about why this is so good.
And the LUG just had an anniversary last year.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, how long has this thing been a thing? I mean, is LUG existed since the beginning of the system?
30 years.
30 Dutch, years, wow.
Dutch, haven't you been there since the beginning?
No, I have not.
You know, just because he's got a beard doesn't mean you got to ask him if he's been there since forever.
I've been in LUG for about 20 years, so not the whole spiel. But what's interesting is LUG was originally started by 10 large users from Common who realized they had a certain challenges that a lot of the other Common members weren't having. So they met together at one of their locations and talked about their issues and came up with 10 requirements that they wanted IBM to make changes to, at the time, the AS400, to do what these companies needed to get their jobs done. And that was the beginning of LUG. Started from those members and these 10 requirements.
And I think out of those 10 requirements, Dutch, if I remember right, the active-active DB2 mirror was one of the very first requirements. And it's been on the table for, I don't know, 28 years before it was delivered. But that's the type of collaboration between the organizations.
What's something that the LUG is working on now as kind of a, like, what's next for the LUG?
You know, one of the nice things about LUG is we also do member minutes. And what a member minute is it's a presentation by a member about something they've done that they think will be of value to other members. And we've got one coming up at this next meeting by one of our large users that has implemented DB2 Mirror. So we have the ability, and we haven't lost that ability to get presentations from our members. And it allows us to see what it looks like when these things are actually done in a large environment.
A LUG member will get up in front of the room and give a 30-minute presentation on some challenge that they've overcome or whatever. I would assume, Brad, that we have members of the support staff that partake in those.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a member, I think it was at the June meeting, that actually talked about how he used our QMG tool set to fix a problem, a specific problem.
Yeah.
And he showed how he used SQL services to identify, I believe it was a temporary storage problem. And then between that and QMG tools and some of his own queries, he was able to fix the problem on his own.
Oh, so he used QMG tools personally?
Yes.
Just to gather the right stuff that he needed?
Right.
That's awesome. So those member minutes, that's part of a broader set of, I suppose there's a large schedule with kind of what's going on. How long is LUG usually?
It's 4 days.
Okay.
So as a matter of fact, there's a meeting next week. So Monday through Thursday. And during the day, we have various presentations and workshops. Next week's meeting is focused on systems management and storage.
Okay.
And then Brad, I don't think that you did a very good job of mentioning yourself in this planning process. Brad is integral in putting the topics together and the member minutes and reaching out to everybody. And then he also is responsible for all the IBM content as far as getting the speakers and the people together. And that's a big piece of it. And with that, Brad has a lot of reach within IBM to bring the right people to the presentations and things. So yeah. I feel like there's a big presence with IBM just because of what Brad brings in. So,
well, and it probably helps that everyone likes Brad.
Well,
yeah, it's great working with the LUG board. I'm on the LUG board meeting every Tuesday, and in between meetings, as we're building the agenda, I'll bring, hey, we have these ideas, and this is a rough template of what we think we want to do at the next meeting.
Yeah,
and they'll either shoot the ideas down, or they'll say they're great, or they'll give me new ideas.
Yeah.
And then I'll collaborate with the various architects and development and other developers and support expert labs to figure out what we're going to bring to the next meeting and what direction it's going to go.
So the speakers at LUG are developers.
Primarily
giving
developers.
Presentations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They have member minutes, which are not just a minute long, but a member time for people to talk about new and innovative ways of using the system.
Right.
Who else generally speaks at LUG, you said?
Support.
Oh, support. Okay, sure. People in support.
Primarily support, expert labs, and development.
Okay.
Primarily development.
Okay.
For the most part. Yeah.
So we talk about member minutes, but joining LUG does have some requirements for the members. Not only do you have to, you know, get accepted into LUG, but you have to attend. We have rules that say if you're a U.S.-based company, you have to come to 2 out of the 3 meetings the LUG holds a year. If you're an international company, you only have to come once a year.
That's fair.
And it's because one of the most valuable pieces of log is the interaction, is the Q&A between the speakers and the people in the room. Dave may ask a question about something he's doing that the speaker is talking on, and that speaker gives him an answer, but then that sparks something that somebody else is thinking that ties to that, and then allows that discussion to continue. And it's that interaction, that discussion, is one of the best parts of Lug. From our side, right, it's getting to put the face on the guy that developed this piece of the application, understanding what he was trying to accomplish, and then helping him to understand how you need to tweak that.
Yeah.
Did you guys have like virtual meetings during COVID, or how'd you handle it?
We did. It was terrible. It was a lot of work for Brad and his team to pull all this together virtually. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that Lug does have one employee, Lynn Benedict, and Lynn is the glue that rides herd over the board. If you go to our website, which is the-lug.com, and on the first page, you can scroll down and there's a how to have your company join link. And when you click that, it takes you to another page and the form you can fill out. And Lynn will then send you a copy of the application.
We'll put the link at the bottom of the podcast too.
Absolutely.
Great.
Yeah, Brad. I just wanted to mention that one of the holdouts, I don't know if I call it a holdout, but result of the fact that we had those virtual meetings for a couple of years. And actually, that was before I was the liaison. I've been the liaison for the last four meetings. So I wasn't doing this during that part. But one thing we did last year is we had a webinar, a two-day webinar on application development. And I think the advantage of that is we had about 200 people attend that. So you had application developers at Lug member companies who were not able to actually come to the meeting, were all able to dial into that and get very technical on what's the latest in app dev.
Oh, nice.
For IBM I. So I think that's a good addition that we've done in addition to the last, to the three physical meetings every year in Rochester.
I think I actually caught that one. There was a good part in there about SQL scripts, mm-hmm. and Jesse Gajinski and Scott Forstie did some great presentations there. Yeah, I could see where that was very beneficial that so many people could attend, and that it was. Now, Lug meetings are not recorded, though.
No, and a lot of that is due to the confidentiality. We don't want anything recorded, and I guess IBM doesn't either, but we don't want the chance of that recorded material making it out somewhere where it doesn't need to be and then have to force, you know, into action to boot members out because something got leaked.
Yeah. Well, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Hey, a little bit off topic, but I would guess like Ansible's pretty popular among large users.
It is a hot topic. The interesting thing about the Lug is typically it's a little bit slower of an organization to kind of get to move because of the size. And we are definitely, as an organization, starting to get that Ansible automation rolling throughout our companies. A lot of people are starting to adopt it and use it. But as you can imagine, when you're on the very large end of the spectrum of the customer base, it's harder to get big things like that rolled out. So, but it is starting to make a pretty good comeback.
Yeah, that makes sense. That and code for IBM I and Visual Studio, I suppose.
Yeah, we actually have a session on code for I next week.
Oh, do you? Okay, mm-hmm. I want to go to that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
David mentioned that there are lots of different user groups. And, you know, one of the largest and much larger than Lug is Common. And, you know, people will ask you, well, which should I join? And over the years, what we've come to realize is that if you want to know how to do something, you need to go to Common, because Common is great for education.
Sure.
If you want to learn why you should do something, you come to LUG. Because LUG is, we don't do education at LUG. You know, very rarely, and I say that, and yet, you know, last meeting we had 2 days on Ansible. So,
sure.
You know, we do that, an exception, but LUG will help you understand why DB2 Mirror is important to you, why PowerHA should be important to you, you know, why Ansible should be important to you, and how those things fit within the entire platform. So LUG is more about why you should do these things than it is, here's the 17 steps to do these things.
I really would imagine that the collaborative nature of you guys sharing what actually happens in your businesses totally lends that opportunity to learn why, because you're at Common, you wouldn't probably go and get into deep discussions about other people, what your business is doing, because there's not that same kind of private environment.
That's good. Kurt, one thing I was going to, Alex mentioned going off the road a little bit earlier, and I think I'm going to do that for a second, but give you guys a shout out. Several years ago, I was asked by the support center to do a presentation session with the support folks. And there was probably, Brad, I think you were there. I think there was probably 100, 150 support reps in a room. And I came up and told what the importance of the support center to all the LUG member companies were, and how we leverage support. And one thing I think that often goes unheralded within the support center is the quality of the support organization within IBM. I consider it leaps and bounds and miles above any other support organization I work with. And being in IT, we work with quite a few different support groups. And the IBM support center is miles ahead of everything else, in my opinion. And it's what makes a lot of this building of this relationship stronger. And being a part of LUG has only solidified that for me.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet. And that was unheralded. That was, or unrequested. That was off my own.
That wasn't part of the script.
Yeah.
Just let me know your PayPal.
Yeah. There you go.
We'll Venmo you.
You know, when Alex and I started this, we were kind of thinking about why we wanted to do this. It really was a matter of kind of what the job means to us to come in and do this. And Alex always refers to them as these little puzzles that we get on our desk, and we get to solve these issues, and it's fun. You know, like that,
the puzzles.
Yeah, like that case I got yesterday, I had never heard of that stuff. But I mean, you sit down, you figure it out, you make someone's day a little better.
It's a fun gig.
Well, I was just going to add to that. And, you know, working in the support center for 26 years, that's been my entire existence at IBM, has been in the support center. And that, you're right, that is what's fun about it. And you're never on an island, because I can go to Alex, or I can go to Kurt. I can go to development, the person who wrote the code, right?
To piggyback on what Dave said, at a large organization, you have systems that are critical.
Right.
If you're in healthcare, for example, you know, your company does things that is critical to the well-being of people. And those people out there doing those things use these back-end systems. And if there's a problem with one of the back-end systems, you need to be able to get that fixed quickly. And I know, and Dave knows, and everybody listening to this podcast knows, problems don't only happen 8 to 5 Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
Right? You'll get the call at, you know, 10:30 Saturday night. Hey, this is happening. What are we going to do? I never have to wonder, when I call IBM, am I going to be able to get a hold of somebody that's going to be able to help me resolve this issue? I can't say that about other third-party software we use. Even some of the big third-party software vendors you might think about, you know, sure, they may have somebody that can answer the phone, but that's about all it goes. Well, we'll get back to you Monday. No, I have people's lives who are dependent upon this thing being working, which is one of the benefits of DB2 Mirror, right?
Right.
You can have that. You can make sure you're never in that situation.
We were talking last week to Isaac Franco, who's a new guy that joined a couple of years ago, and he was taking pager for the first time on the weekend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we pointed out the fact that, you know, not only, you know, can't one person know everything, but even the person who you think knows everything, there's always new things coming along like DB2 Mirror and other products that we're not always fully aware of. And yeah, it does seem that the support organization is strong and that, you know, if I can't answer it, like you said, we always have somebody to answer the phone, but we can always really 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, get hold of somebody who can get in there and knows what they're doing. And I love the fact that for us in Rochester, development is right downstairs. And the fact that when you guys come to town 3 times a year, development walks over and can meet with you and find out what you want. And yeah, it all seems just so beneficial.
One of the things we do at LUG, you've heard us talk about Ask the Experts. And that's what Ask the Experts is. Every major functional segment of IBM has somebody at a table that you can walk up to and ask a question of. And these aren't polished presenters that are at these tables. These are guys whose job it is to write the code, right? And it's not unusual when you go there and you're talking to these guys, one of them will say, you know, I had an idea to do this and that. And you'll say, wow. Yeah, if we could do this and that, that would be great. And they'll say, okay, can you write a LUG requirement? And we'll go back on Thursday morning, we'll write that LUG requirement. And as Dave said, it can't just be a good idea for me, right?
Right.
I've got to be able to show that the value of that idea to the other 80 different companies that are at that LUG meeting, right? So that they say, oh, yeah, that is good. Or they'll say, no, you idiot, Dutch, that's not how you solve that. Just use this option on this command, and it does that. Oh,
right.
Okay. Yeah.
So the other thing, Dutch, that follows along with that, and this pertains to the support center as well, is a requirement is some feature function that is either missing or not working the way it needs to be working within the existing operating system or the tooling around the operating system. It is not a, hey, I put on this PTF and it broke this function, fix this function, right? Those are support requests that would go through the support center. They're not what we would consider to be a LUG requirement. When we're vetting the LUG requirements, we're looking for, hey, this is broke, can you fix it? Requests, and we throw those out. Just so you guys know, in the support center, we don't address that with LUG requirements.
Well, I would fully believe that, because the process about how those things are reported is something that is well documented, and that we would want those things to come in to support so that they go through the right channels, the right documents get created. Yeah. And yeah, but are there any interesting requirements you guys have put in that you're happily surprised got accepted and put into the system?
Well, I would say for me, a lot of the stuff that I put in were around testing of new functionality and features such as live partition mobility, a lot of the hypervisor stuff, putting those in. And while a lot of the LUG members at the time weren't using that function or weren't testing it, they all saw value in it and they would vote it through. IBM would fix it. And then when a LUG member was ready to use it, the functionality was there the way they needed it, right? So there was a lot of requests around that type of new delivery from IBM. I feel like that's very valuable to the organization to have that input. And now I think what you see is some of that has been reduced by the development lifecycle, so to speak, that IBM does, where they engage customers during the development of the product. And there's a lot of communication back and forth. So a lot of that is minimized now. So overall, I think that was something that came out of the requirements process that was a good thing, is IBM takes a lot of that into account up front. So.
Oh, good. Good. Well, Brad, what are some things that the LUG members can look forward to next week?
Other than the weather, Brad.
Yeah, the weather. I mean, it's going to be, what, 50 today? Which is unseasonable.
Yeah, it's going to be cold next week.
I know. And then, you know, Dutch and Dave are coming into town. It's going to be probably negative 10. But yeah, other than the weather, next week is storage and systems management focus. Yep. We're also having some design thinking workshops. We'll work on some new things that IBM is working on. And again, that's another advantage of the LUG. We're going to ask for their input. How should we design these things in the future?
Sure.
Right. So there's a few workshops we're going to have there. There's also a LUG dinner Monday night. We're having an event on Thursday night with some activities at Chip Shots.
Nice.
So in town. And then, yeah, it's going to be a good week.
Talking about memorable moments from LUG, I can remember there was a time IBM came to LUG and they presented, we're going to get rid of the HMC. And this was one of the few times that I can remember fist fights breaking out and LUG saying, no, you're not. And IBM said, well, yeah, we don't think you need it. And LUG said, no, you're not. And IBM backed away from that. And, you know, we've seen developments now that you can get virtual HMCs,
yeah,
but you can still get the physical HMC. And it was one of the memorable moments in my LUG life.
Well, I was in HMC support myself for a few years, and I fully believe that, because that is a very useful and powerful piece of technology that I believe is well thought out, works well, and is, still trucking after all these years. The joke used to be when the HMC first came out, there'd be a lot of cases that would come in, and we would have to know if the customers had an HMC or not, because then we'd have to collect certain information. And so the joke was, we would just ask people, do you have an HMC? And when they said, what's an HMC? We knew they didn't have one.
One of the best pieces of the HMC that we use daily is the HMC scanner. And I don't know if you've ever done a show on the HMC scanner, but
no, we haven't.
It is a fantastic piece of software. And it's not an official piece of IBM software. It's my understanding. It's supported by a gentleman out of Italy who wrote it.
Think I've heard of that. Yes.
Yeah. If you go to the last virtual user group meeting that IBM puts on, that he was the featured speaker. But it's amazing the wealth of information that is available in the HMC.
Yeah, it's a complex piece of equipment that works well and serves a great purpose.
Dave and Dutch, it was a pleasure getting to know you and talk a little bit about LUG. And Brad, thanks as well for joining us. That was really informative. And here's to many more great years of LUG.
Thank you, guys. It was a pleasure and an honor to talk to you guys. And kudos to the support center. Keep rocking.
To reiterate that, we could not do our jobs without the support center.
Very true.
And as always, Alex, thank you to our listeners for joining us on
You,
Me,
and IBM I.